Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Vandal Scoreboard. I'm Mark Warren.
And I'm James Torman Aldrich.
And this week we're back again. Last week we missed a week due to unforeseen circumstances.
I think they were foreseen. They were pretty dumb.
Unforeseen. But we're back. It is Saturday the 15th when this is airing. Myself and James are currently in a car on our way to Missoula to go do some live coverage of the Idaho-Montana game. You can follow along on the Vandal Nation socials.
Yeah, both on Instagram and Twitter. Should be a really good game, as what is considered the best defense and best offense in the Big Sky in Montana takes on the underdog of the University of Idaho.
Yeah, we're going to get to that game a little bit later. I know you have a lot of thoughts on it, but before I want to talk about the past few weeks of Vandal sports, I want to start with volleyball. They lost to Eastern Washington 3-0. I did not watch that game. I think you did.
Yeah, I was there. It wasn't a good game by either team, but the experience of Eastern Washington just helped them to blow by Idaho.
Yeah, and that also happened in the ISU game. Lost to ISU 3-1 in the battle of the gyms, I guess, not the domes. Game was a lot closer than it looked like. All four sets, the Vandals, well, besides the first set, the Vandals looked really strong in all of them, and they just, like, couldn't close out. And I think that is just kind of something that has happened a lot this year.
Yeah, it was also an issue last year. You know, the Vandals could take a 20-13 lead even, and it would be gone quickly. So something that, you know, even with this younger team, only having a few more experienced players on the team, seeing the same issues that we saw last season when the Vandals also struggled to win games.
Yeah, I mean, in that ISU game, I think there was like a 25-23. I think their final set they lost 25-19 after going on like a 7-0 run or something like that early in it. Mm-hmm. They can come out hot, but they just can't finish it.
Yeah, and that was the case in the Weber State game. That first set against Weber State, they lost 30-28. It was the most points I've seen put up in a volleyball game ever. So, you know, the Vandals had the lead for a little while there. They were up 28-27, just needed one point. But then Weber State went on a 3-0 run to close out that first set 30-28. After that, it wasn't very close in the second set. But the third and fourth set, I think the Vandals made it to 20 points in the third and 19 or something in the fourth. The second set, 25-15. Third set, Idaho won the third set, my bad, to take it 25-22, I think. But from there, it was just rough for Idaho to finish out a set. Hopefully they can try to turn things around in the next 11 games, but you know, unless they can learn how to close out a game this late in the season, mm-hmm. Also starting with those few road trips to start the season definitely didn't help.
No, and when we're recording this, this is before the Eastern Washington game. I don't see the Vandals winning that one. We just lost them 3-0, so
especially with it being at Eastern, mm-hmm, going to be a tough one.
Moving on to soccer, they started out the past few weeks hot, and then they had their game against NAU, but they started out with a win against Montana, 1-0 win, another one of those, and another great showing from Vita. Margot Schulzer was the one that got the goal in that game off a penalty kick. It was a classic Idaho Vandal soccer game. A lot of defense and just a little bit of offense.
Yeah, and that's how it was against Northern Colorado as well. Kira getting 3 saves in that game, 44 saves on the season at that point. At that point, there was only one game where she had allowed a goal. Annika Farley got the 1-0 win for the Vandals, which was weird. It was originally given to Margot as Margot hit it off of the top of the goal, it bounced down, came back out, and then Annika came back with the recovery to get it in. So glad it was given to the correct person there. And then the next game, where there shouldn't have been a goal at all in the 1-0 loss to NAU. I like the note that you put in. The Big Sky doesn't respect or like Idaho, and I don't think it's a question. I think it's a statement that we have seen. You know, last season, I don't remember who we were playing. I was standing next to a few fans that have been soccer fans at the University of Idaho for quite some time, and the ball bounces off the top of the goal into the goal. Should have been an Idaho goal. Much further into the net than this one was. Gave him the point, did the whole celebration thing. 2 minutes later, ref overturned it. In this case, there was maybe, 13 seconds left?
If that. It was no time left in the half.
Yeah, and ball bounces off the top of the net, bounces on the outside of the line. They reviewed it or replayed it 4 or 5 times on ESPN+. Ball clearly bounces outside of the net, but they reviewed it. And 5 seconds after they said they're going to review it, they gave NAU the goal. So it's not just football and basketball that has had some controversy when it comes to Idaho games. Soccer has seen it as well.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't just pin this one on the Big Sky refs. The Vandals didn't score a point in it, right? Yeah. And something that we've talked about before, not on this podcast, due to unforeseen circumstances. But the Vandals make one mistake. And they lose a game.
Yeah, and this wasn't really a mistake per se, but it also couldn't not be considered a mistake. Idaho has just been unable to score really since the UCSB game, winning that one 3-0. NDSU tying, and then from that point on, 1-0 wins or 1-0 losses. So you can't rely on 1-0 wins.
No, and it'll be interesting tonight, as we're recording this tonight, for you guys, it will be yesterday, but the Vandals play Portland State in the Kibbe Dome, and that is probably going to be who determines the number one seed in the Big Sky. It is an important game, and do you think the Vandals are going to be able to come up on top of that?
I think that the Vandals are going to have to do what they did against UCSB and just play their game. You know, they have looked weak for the last few weeks. But there's a lot of offense on that team. It's just getting it going. And I think this can, you know, I love Coach Clevenger. Coach Clevenger is great, but he has not been involved on the sideline. You know, the game that we played against Louisiana, against UCSB, against North Dakota State, the opposing coaches were constantly up telling their players what to do to get it together. And Coach Clevenger got out of his seat on the bench for the first time that I have seen with about 30 seconds left in the second half of the game against NAU. So I hope to see some energy from Coach Clevenger at tonight's game at the time of recording. I think there needs to be some more energy from everywhere on the Vandal soccer team.
Coming in, Portland State is 5-5-4, 4-0-1 in conference play. They are not have not been defeated in Big Sky Conference play. This is a huge game. Vandals women's soccer is probably the best sports team for Idaho right now.
For sure. You know, and they'll probably be considered the best team other than, you know, maybe cross country, who ran really well last weekend, or track later in the season. But for the main sports at Idaho, I would say soccer will probably be considered the best this whole year, depending on how football finishes out the season. I'm not really expecting much out of men's basketball, and women's basketball should do well, but depending on which women's team is able to get further in their respective Big Sky tournament, I think will be considered the best team at this school this year.
Yeah, basketball is tipping off in 17 days, right?
Yeah, so the women play technically 18 days, I guess, because I'm bad at math. So the women play on the 30th. They play away, though. But the men's first game is November 1st, so 18 days, I guess, until we get to see this really new men's basketball team. You know, we can talk about that more in the next couple weeks, but A lot of transfers and a lot of new students on that team.
Yeah, we'll be sure to talk about basketball as it happens. I'm excited for that. I'm a huge basketball fan. But something that we can talk about right now is Idaho football. We have two games to talk about, one game to talk about, just the homecoming game. They beat the Northern Colorado Bears 55-35, and I think the thing that stood out to everyone is Giovanni McCoy.
Yeah, Giovanni McCoy is, you know, at this point, the best quarterback in the Big Sky Conference. Mm-hmm. One of the first questions that was asked of Coach Eck at the presser afterwards was, had he seen Giovanni's stat line? And he hadn't yet. You know, the best stat line of the week, giving him FCS Freshman of the Week. 22 for 27, 298 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 sacks, 0 interceptions. He has not thrown an interception, I found this out yesterday, since the game against Washington State.
Mm.
You know, he's been, you know, you have listed here playing out of his mind since Indiana, mm-hmm. but really playing out of his mind since Washington State.
Yeah.
You know, and even if we look back at last season, he's been playing well since he got that start against Eastern Washington when the other three starting quarterbacks were injured. So we knew Giovanni McCoy was going to be special. We didn't know with C.J. Jordan technically being the older of the two, and when Eck brought Jabor Gibbs in near the end of the offseason, didn't know exactly who was going to be starter, but I think a lot of fans were expecting Giovanni, and he's continued to play great.
Yeah, he is not disappointed. It helps also that he has some great receivers. Hayden Hatton, 8 receptions, 131 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jermaine Jackson continuing his stellar season, 6 receptions, 101 yards, 1 touchdown. It's not hurting the Vandals that they have multiple threats.
Yeah, Hayden and Jermaine, Terrez Traynor will be absent in the game against Montana. He got re-injured in the game against Northern Colorado, so not having that third big offensive wide receiver threat could be detrimental, but at the same time, you know, you have that rushing core as well.
Mm-hmm.
Elisha Cummings played insane against Northern Colorado. Seven attempts, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns, also tacking on 2 receptions for 15 yards and a touchdown. But Anthony Woods, you know, he doesn't lead in touchdowns on the team, but he does lead in rushing yards. Had 17 attempts for 96 yards against Northern Colorado. And then the big man in the backfield, 6 foot, 220-pound, Roshan Johnson, 9 attempts for 53 yards.
Yeah, I mean, the Vandals, I think, have to establish the run. I think that is what helps getting these wide receivers open, is when defenses have to stack the box, you're going to get those deep shots. And so I think the Vandals need to be able to run well in their coming few games. Defense also played well in the second half. First half was a little shaky. Everyone who was on the field got either solo or assist tackle, I believe.
Yeah. You know, and I was looking at Montana's stats against Idaho State, one of the worst teams, the worst team in the conference. And they had 4 players that went on defense and didn't do anything. So, you know, Idaho's defense having that depth, having that skill. Kamari Bailey leading the team in sacks as a sophomore, 3 sacks over the last 3 games. Favai, obviously,
mm-hmm.
Big man in the backfield. So the defense is going to have to play very well in this game against Montana. Montana has a very solid run and passing game, and they have a deep quarterback core as well. So I don't imagine that they'll use multiple quarterbacks, but if they need to, they can. So
No, I mean, this defense needs to come out strong in the first half, something they weren't able to do in this game. I mean, because it was almost tied up going into half, I believe.
Yeah, it was 24-20 going into half. It was something like that. It was 24-20 at the halftime in Northern Colorado, I believe, maybe, or something like that. Or this one, I don't exactly remember, but it was close at halftime. I think the thing we really need to talk about going into this Montana game is the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the KB Dome, seats 16,000. There were 10,000, just over 10,000 people there. Very electric in the dome, but it was less than half of the amount of people that will be in the stands at the Montana game. They fit over 25,000, and the arena is completely sold out. So very loud game for the Vandals, very different type of atmosphere than they'll be used to.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the first time since, I believe, 2019 that they have played in Montana. So it'll be something special for Idaho to, you know, if they can pull off a win in a sold-out stadium, especially away, would be huge for this team.
Yeah, I think this is something that the Vandals, they faced in their first 2 weeks, but since they've gotten on their roll, they haven't really faced a big crowd. Even the crowd at NAU seemed to be pretty heavy in the Vandals' favor.
Yeah, there were a lot of NAU fans, or Vandal fans at the NAU game. A lot of Vandal fans at the Indiana game, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the largest crowd they probably had to face was Washington State, and even then there were a lot of Vandal fans there. Mm-hmm. So there will be a lot of Vandal fans in attendance at Montana as well, but tickets sold out quick. So I have a feeling it will be a lot of UM, a lot of Maroon in that crowd. Mm-hmm.
And I know you have a lot of thoughts on the University of Montana. We'll get to that a little later. But I want to talk about volleyball coming forward. Obviously, playing NAU tonight, can't really talk about that one. But then they play Northern Colorado. Vandals 2-0 against Northern Colorado this year in soccer and football. But Northern Colorado has a much better volleyball team than we do. I would say that's fair to say for most Big Sky teams.
This is true.
They're 8-7 coming in. And so I don't see the Vandals winning this one. I don't see the Vandals winning a lot of volleyball games on their schedule.
Yeah, I think that this is just going to be a foundational year for this volleyball team. Having, I believe, 15 players on the team, 12 of which are freshmen or first-time players. So it's really just a foundational year. Going into next season, the Vandals will lose Monday, which will be hard, or will hurt them. Mm-hmm. Having Monday back this season was huge. Technically graduating last year, coming back as a graduate student this year. But not having her, having somebody to fill that hole. Olivia Glockner has stepped up in a tremendous way this season. So I expect Olivia Glockner to probably have a breakout season next year. But for this season, it's really just, it's going to be building those fundamentals.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you have a young team. You can't expect to be building a team and also winning. You just kind of hope that the Vandals are able to build on this season, figure out how to close out games, and put points on the board, and just learn all of this season.
Yeah, it's also going to be a matter of keeping these freshmen around. The season, or the start of the season, the volleyball team was bigger than it was now. So Coach Gonzalez, you know, have to be able to bring new players in and keep players around.
No, I can't imagine morale's high in that locker room, you know, having 3 wins, I believe, on the season.
Yeah, 3 wins all at that University of Wyoming tournament. And since then, not winning one, and before then, not winning one. So
mm-hmm. No, it is not a great team right now. You just have to hope they turn it around. Moving on to soccer, there are 3 games left right now, 2 when this is going up. Obviously, we talked about the Portland State game. Then on October 16th, they're going to play Sacramento State. Another important game. Sacramento State's not as good as Portland State. These notes I have, I believe, are a little old. But looking at this, Sacramento State is 1-7-4, 1-1-1 in conference play. Their one win was coming against Northern Colorado, who we beat. And they're not a great team.
Yeah, it's going to be... this game tonight, or yesterday at the time of recording, is really the last one that the Vandals need to play well.
Mm-hmm.
And not even play well. They need to play great. If they don't have a top-tier play in this game, they lose to Portland State, and they solidify the second seed in the going into the Big Sky tournament on November 7th. So, now those games against Sac State and Eastern Washington are big games, but they are winnable games and mm-hmm. should be games that the Vandals win, whereas Portland State, after the Vandals showing against NAU and with how well Portland State has played this season, you can't put it in the win column as you were hoping against NAU and, you know, going into the other Big Sky games that you pretty much could check mm-hmm. the win column for the Vandals.
Yeah.
But last game and this game, two very different teams in the Big Sky Conference. So this will solidify the top two seeds most likely, and hopefully the Vandals end up with that number one seed going into the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, this season it's been fun to watch the Vandals play. Kira Vitta has played out of her mind. I believe the stat you said was one more game and she breaks the Big Sky record.
Yeah, so if she can pull out a shutout against Portland State tonight, or pull one off against Sac State or Eastern Washington, she'll break the record, and the record will be broken for the second time in the last 3 years. Goalkeeper from Montana broke it in 2019. So, you know, we talk about the great play from Kira, but really just the defensive play in the Big Sky has been just great all around.
Mm-hmm. No, and I'm hoping that Vitta stays around. She could be a cornerstone for this team for a few years.
For sure.
Now, football. I believe in my notes, before you send me your things, I think I just said James hates the University of Montana.
Yeah, I, you know, as a kid growing up, I was a University of Montana fan, and then I started to realize that blue and gold is a cooler combination than maroon and more maroon. But also, I don't think that the University of Montana should be the top-ranked team in the Big Sky Conference, despite them being 5-0. I think Montana State's one loss against Oregon State, putting up 21 points in that game, is more impressive than Montana shutting out teams like Northwestern State. So, yeah, UM is currently ranked second by coaches, updated second by Stats Perform, despite having a bye week last week. I don't know how you can move up from third to second when you didn't even play a game. But they started their season against Northwestern State, who sits at the top of their conference, but lost 47-0 in Missoula, 47-21 against Grambling, 64-10 in Southern Mississippi, won 35-27 against Lamar, 36-33 against Nichols, who are the two bottom teams in their conference. South Dakota State, at the time that we put these notes together, was the third to last in their conference. They lost 34-0 at Kansas State, 24-7 at University of Montana, 34-17 at NDSU, and their only win comes against Cal Poly when they won 38-21. That's the best team Montana has played, other than their bye week. Mm-hmm. Indiana State, fourth to last in the conference, sitting one higher than South Dakota. Won 17-14 in overtime versus North Alabama, lost 56 to Purdue, and then 49-14 versus Montana, 20-14 at Northern Iowa, and then they played North Dakota State last week, which I imagine they probably lost. And their last two games, starting the Big Sky Conference, playing Portland State, who's the seventh in the Big Sky Conference, lost 21-17 at San Jose, 52-6 at Washington, 53-16 at Montana, and somehow beat Northern Arizona at their homecoming, 35-27. I believe they also played last week, but I'm not sure who they played or if they won. And then Idaho State, sitting last in the conference, losing 52-21 at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, 38-7 at San Diego State, 31-16 versus Central Arkansas, 35-14 at Northern Colorado, and 28-20 versus the University of Montana. And then last week, they lost 31-2, not enough against what I consider the best team in the conference, Montana State. Montana was up 28-6 at one point against Idaho State. And this is how, this is really what confuses me, how they were able to bump up in the rankings after the bye week. Idaho State should not have been able to put up 14 points. They shouldn't have been able to put up any points touchdown-wise against Montana, against the, quote, best defense in the conference. Montana will face their first real challenge in Idaho on Saturday. Coming after Idaho, they face two 4-0 teams. In conference now, 5-0 teams, I believe, Weber State and Sac State. And then after that, two 1-3 teams at the time that I wrote these notes. But they end the season against what I said is best team in the conference, Montana State. You could argue Sac State or Weber, but I think Montana State is clearly the best team in the conference, sitting at now 5-1 with their only loss so far coming against a Pac-12 opponent, because they actually have the cojones to play a Pac-12 team, unlike the University of Montana.
Yeah, it's I haven't watched a lot of University of Montana football. I have mainly been focused on UI. But Montana hasn't faced anyone real. Like, this will be their first time where they actually have a challenge, and I wouldn't want my first challenge to be against this Jason Eklund Vandals.
I wouldn't either. And, I would consider Montana lucky that they alternate where this game is played every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't even be played every year now, because the Big Sky Conference, once again, doesn't respect Idaho and its rivalries. Didn't make Idaho and Montana the Battle of the Little Brown Stein a protected rivalry. But, you know, if this game was in Moscow, I don't think anybody even thinks about Montana winning this game. I think the big reason that people will have Montana, on the upside of this game is because it's played at Washington Grizzly Stadium.
No, it's if this game's played in the Kibbe Dome, it is a different story entirely. The doubt I have in my mind is because the Vandals are playing away and they're going to be playing in a loud, sold-out stadium.
Yeah, for my prediction for this game, I think best-case scenario, if Idaho doesn't struggle with false starts, which they were lucky against Northern Colorado that they didn't have false starts at all in that game, being able to fix that up on the offensive line. No false starts. I think Idaho can win this game by 7-14 points.
Mm-hmm.
But with false starts, I think their best bet is winning on a game-winning field goal.
Yeah, no, it's my last record prediction for the homecoming game wasn't great. I'll admit it. I believe I said 17-35, 16-35,
something like that.
It was a much higher scoring game than I thought it was going to be. I think that this game is going to be close, and I think no matter what, it's going to be within a touchdown. It will be within 7 points.
For sure.
And, if it comes down to a game-winning field goal, there's no one I would want more on my team than Ricardo Chavez.
Yeah, Chavez not missing a single field goal or point after attempt this season. I believe he has 14 PATs and 11 field goals so far in the season. So, and it'll be different depending on which way the wind is blowing. He hasn't really had to deal with that, as he hasn't played in an open-air stadium other than WSU in Indiana. But even then, got it through the uprights every time. So.
And that Indiana game, I cannot imagine would be easy to kick in. A lot of rain in that one.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll give an official prediction of 38-35 game-winning field goal from Chavez for Idaho.
I will say 28-35 Idaho. I think we're going to get it by a touchdown, but it is going to be a close game. It is going to be a fun game. I'm excited to be there.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad that and shout out to Eric Tabor for getting us media passes and letting us be there this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. We both obviously work at the Argonaut, the Vandal Nation, and getting to cover an away game for the first time in who knows how long.
If ever.
Yeah, no, it is huge. I hope that it is going to be change for the Argonaut. Hopefully we're going to be able to cover more games. But you can follow along on that on, I believe it is, at the Vandal Nation on Instagram, Vandal Nation on Twitter, at UI Argonaut on Instagram and Twitter. Other than that, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I am good as well.
You've gotten all your rants out about
that. The last thing I have to say for this weekend, FTG, go Vandals. Thank you.
I am Mark Warren. You can follow me on Twitter at MarkWarren1832.
I'm James Torman Aldrich. You can follow me on Twitter at JamesAldrich25.
Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.